The British economy shrinks by a record 20% due to the coronavirus pandemic. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. Empty streets, shops and skies have become a common sight around the world. They're also a reflection of an economy's lifeblood being cut off. Here in the UK, the coronavirus lockdown has led to a fifth of the economy being lost in April. That's the biggest monthly contraction since records began. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker breaks down the numbers.
There is a view that April might well have been the low point. We had the restrictions fully in force for the whole month. They came into effect in late March. So there are certainly some signs of economic activity beginning to recover a little. Of course, much will depend on the path of the health situation, whether there is a second wave or not. But it seems very unlikely that another monthly decline of 20% is going to be awaiting us.
And we're seeing those concerns about a possible second wave playing out in the markets. We had a grim report out this week from the OECD that included an economic scenario of a second wave. What did the OECD predict for the UK and how does this stack up to the US?
Well, the OECD looked specifically at two scenarios, one where the health crisis continues to gradually ease and one in which there is indeed a second wave. Their assessment was in the less severe case, the UK would experience a decline this year of 11.5%. So that's for the full year. A still very large but more moderate decline in the United States in that scenario of nearly 7.5%. Significantly worse, as you might expect, if there were a second wave, as much as 14% in the UK, 8.5% in the United States. I mean, worth saying that the uncertainties around these kind of figures are unusually large because it's so difficult to assess with any precision just how the health crisis is going to impact the behaviour of workers and firms and consumers in the months ahead.
So a highly complicated path ahead. Our economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Leisha.
Meanwhile, British Airways and two of the largest European budget carriers, Ryanair and EasyJet, have filed a formal legal challenge to the British government's quarantine policy. The airlines say the new requirement for people arriving in Britain to self-isolate for 2 weeks will have a, quote, devastating effect on British tourism and the wider economy and destroy thousands of jobs, end quote. Now, in the financial markets, the British pound is advancing against the dollar despite today's dismal GDP data. European stocks also appear to be stabilizing after a sharp sell-off in Asia and the US overnight. Investors are worried a second wave of infections could derail the speed of the economic recovery following months of lockdown. The BBC's Andrew Wood has the latest from Hong Kong.
Investors in Asia woke up shortly after Wall Street closed, and they too started selling. The first market to open, New Zealand, dropped by 4.5% in the first hour of trading alone. Australia and Japan followed with 3% falls. Hong Kong opened 2% down. The losses did narrow as the day progressed, and as trading wound down in Asia, shares in Europe also opened lower, but with only modest losses. The FTSE 100 index in London lost more than 1% in the first few moments of trading, but actually turned slightly positive within 20 minutes. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Andrew Wood for Marketplace.
This was the moment millions of gaming fans around the world have been waiting for.
You ever wonder, like, different choices, how we might have ended up?
No, I like the hand we've been dealt.
And with that, it was off. Sony's big reveal of its new PlayStation 5 console and several new titles, including a Spider-Man sequel. The socially distanced launch was a little different to the usual glitzy events of previous years, but it was enough to whet fans' appetites ahead of it hitting stores in time for the holiday period. Piers Harding-Rolls, head of games at Ampere Analysis, told me what the new console looks like.
I think it's a really striking design. Sort of, I guess, heralds back more to the PlayStation 3, which is more curvy in design. It looks quite big. I don't know the dimensions of it. I don't think that's been revealed yet, but it looks pretty big.
Personally, I don't understand the debate around the aesthetics. What I'm most interested in is how much will it cost and why won't they tell us?
The pricing question is a relatively difficult thing at the moment because, you know, lots of people losing their jobs. And I think when you look at the componentry that's going into these devices, we're expecting it to be relatively expensive. So in the US, probably in the $450 to $500 range. You know, that's more expensive than the PlayStation 4 launched at. We've also got Microsoft releasing the Xbox Series X at the end of the year. So there's a competitive situation. So I think there's a little bit of tentativity about when they should announce the actual pricing.
And finally, let's talk about the games, because typically many of the new game releases are announced at E3, which was set to take place this week in Los Angeles, but that was cancelled due to the coronavirus pandemic. So as long as the pandemic continues, how badly is the gaming industry going to be impacted?
In terms of the consumer playing games, clearly there's been more consumption because people have been, you know, shut inside. But if you're looking at the production side of things, certainly with big budget games, there has been some disruption. However, you know, we're talking about a launch that's probably going to take place in November. And I think most of the studios have been able to get over these disruptions and will have time to catch up.
And as you say, there's a lot of pent-up demand, including for myself, since I want to buy my husband a console. Piers Harding-Rolls, Head of Games at Ampere Analysis, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much.
And that's it from this week's producing team of Will Bain and Stephen Ryan, duty editor Matt Davies. Today's studio manager was Matt Cadman. And don't forget, you can download our podcast at marketplace.org. We're back at the same time, same station on Monday. In London, I'm Leisha Santarelli with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.